When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the 909 podcast. We are welcome back to our humble abode on the internet, our audio palace, where we will be discussing new music that we loved this month, which is the month of October. Andrea Cleary is here on the line, as always. Audio Palace.
No, it delighted me. It's beautiful. Hello,
the
Niall.
The audio palace of our minds.
Of our minds, yes. How are you? You're just back from New York.
I am,
Would you like to tell the listeners how you got on?
It was great. I was at a wedding. My friends Chelsea and Dara got married in Long Island. It was brilliant and just really enjoyable. Great spot. Lovely weather. Spent 5 days in New York City itself and had a lovely, lovely time. And everything was an excuse to go to different types of restaurants or pubs and either have some nice drinks or a nice dish or some different type of food, whether it was Chinese or Mexican or whatever. We did loads.
Did you find a really good slice of pizza anywhere?
Yeah, I did. And thanks to our friend of the show, Liz Pelly, who I met over there for a coffee and her fellow Jordan from Mutual Benefit, went for a coffee with them. And because we had disappointing pizza up until then, and we were like, this isn't going to cut it. We need something better.
I imagine the streets of New York City are paved with disappointing tourist pizza.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You kind of need a local.
So, yeah. So we were steered in the right direction after a couple of duds. Basically, Liz said her friend had written a book or a pamphlet or whatever it is about, I think it was a book, about the best pizza slice in Manhattan. So we were staying in Brooklyn, but we spent a lot of time in Manhattan as well. So it was beside Madison Square Garden. It's called NY Pizza Suprema. It has vegan slices as well. It was the best pizza we had. Best pizza slice I've had in a long time. It was like that fresh tomato, fresh herbs, and just really crispy, lovely, soft, but crunchy base. It was perfect. It was really, really good. And there's pictures of Anthony Bourdain up and all that kind of stuff. I know, you know, when a restaurant is owned by a family and it's like family run business since whatever, yada, yada, yada. So there's loads of that. We went to a fair few of those. It was an Italian restaurant we went to called Barbetta. Went to see Hades Town, the musical on Broadway.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, the musicals aren't really my thing, but this is like Anais Mitchell. It's still very Broadway. It's still very cheesy, but yeah. I enjoyed
it. I've heard some of the songs from that because I'm like you. I'm like, I like musicals in like very, I like very specific musicals. Like I'll simp for Les Mis, but like I'm not a big musical person and I wouldn't like take a chance on a musical that I didn't know anything about. But I listened to a couple of the songs from Hadestown and I like the kind of sonic world of it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's an interesting, it's not like we're all in a musical.
Yeah. It's a bit like, New Orleans, jazz dark kind and, of.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bit of, my only problem with it is, well, it's a big, pretty big problem, but I wasn't the only one. The main male actor, hated his singing. I hated it. he sounds and looks like James Blunt and it's horrible.
It's
just really that earnest singer-songwriter thing. And you know when you're like the middle, obviously Hadestown is about, you know, the Greek tragedy about Orpheus and what's her name?
Well, Persephone?
Persephone, and I can never remember the other one.
Eurydice.
And so it's about going, she gets caught in the underworld and so he goes and rescues her and it's tragedy ultimately, but he just has nothing that convinces me why she might want
so him. he's Orpheus, is
he's
he?
Orpheus, yeah. He's just not a
James Blunt is not I like James Blunt as a person, but like a James Blunt type character is not an Orpheus in my mind.
I thought he was the fool when it first started, you know, because he had that kind of vibe. And I was like, yeah, quickly became apparent he wasn't, and I was like, oh. But production is amazing, obviously. Like, I'd never gone to a Broadway show before. Just don't go to the bar because you get charged for a lot.
What did a glass of wine cost you?
Glass of wine and a beer was $42.
What?
That's not even the worst of it. I'll tell you more later on.
Isn't the dollar like the same as the euro at the moment? Fuck off. Yeah. Oh my God.
And it wasn't even like a pint of beer. It's like 3/4 of a pint.
That's like Norway prices. That is outrageous.
It's pretty insane. Food and drink is very expensive. I'd say food is like most, I mean, like probably 150% what we spend here easily.
Wow.
On a main dish. And Jesus, like pints are $8 and a glass of wine is like about $14. So it's expensive enough, but
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, luckily this wedding was supposed to happen 2 years ago, so I had the money put aside for a while, so it wasn't, it was kind of allowed, it was okay. But
I hadn't realized that New York was that expensive. I knew it would be expensive, but I just sort of assumed that it would be like Dublin-ish, like maybe a bit more than Dublin.
Me too, yeah.
The
big difference from the last time I was there, which was 2018, when I was over for a conference.
Thanks, Biden.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of mad. It's kind of mad. But anyway, it was great. And we'll get a bit more New York stuff later because I'm going to pick a song related to it before we finish. But before we start sharing our best of the month, best tracks and albums of the month, Andrea, it was your birthday yesterday. And
it was my birthday.
And it is, as it is now custom, it's time for your the Andrea Cleary quiz. You.
Yay. Oh, I hoped, but I daren't expect.
Yeah. Well, I felt like so I really happy. Had to follow through after you did it last time.
After I did the worst quiz in the world. If anyone wants to listen back to that, don't.
Hey, listen, I'm about to ruin my own reputation and then uplift yours.
Okay.
So yay. This quiz.
I'm so excited.
There are 12 questions, one for each letter of your name. The answer begins with that letter in order, right?
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay. Oh my God. Okay, I'm already in.
It's music and pop culture and everything else, right? So whatever. But I think you'll get a lot of them. So let's start.
Okay.
Okay, first question. Which Irish designer worked on the props on the Wes Anderson 2014 film The Grand Budapest Hotel?
Which? And so the answer to this begins with A?
Yes,
or it
correct.
Could begin with any letter?
No, it begins
okay,
with...
Okay, so it's not Orla Kiley then, the no, only Irish no, designer no. I know. Are they like a fashion designer or like a... What kind
no,
of designer?
No, worked on the
they?
Props. Designer by trade, graphic designer possibly. I don't know, maybe this is one of those answers that I'm like, of course it's that person, but...
I don't
maybe you
really
don't know.
Know.
They're also...
About design...
Okay, what can I give you a hint other than that it begins with A? Has a book called Fake Love Letters. Born in Wales, based in Dublin.
I'm so sorry to this person. I have no idea.
You may not know. That's fine. I just
pass.
I'm just very familiar with their work, and so it is Annie Atkins. Have you ever heard of Annie Atkins?
Okay.
Before?
No, okay. But congratulations, Anya. And that is no, I am just very ignorant.
I mean, I chose a pretty random
design
first
world.
Question. There you go.
Okay.
It was literally the first one that came to my head. And I was like, oh, anyway, that'll do. Okay, question two.
Perfect.
Which musician with Irish, Turkish and Barbadian heritage released her second album this year?
Irish, Turkish and Barbados?
Yeah.
Barbadian. Begins with N. Niloufer Yanya?
It is indeed. The album was Painless.
Yay!
But that was released this year.
Has she got Irish heritage?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, God, this next question is very random. Okay. Which dance led to a rap song in 2010 that started with the title Teach Me How to Blank?
Oh. It's either Dougie or Ducky?
Yeah,
is it one of those?
I
two?
Will give you that because that is correct. It's just Dougie.
That's in my head because I don't know if you watch Limmy on you like his streams on YouTube,
no, I don't.
But he does these like he's very funny. So he does these like sporkle quizzes of like music from the 80s, music from the 90s, and so on. And he did a 2010s one the other day, and that song was in
no
it.
No way.
And
okay,
I was like,
great.
So that's the only reason why it's in my head, but yay. Taste me how to duck, taste me how to duck, taste me how to duck, taste me how to duck. Everybody love me, everybody love me, everybody love me. You ain't messing with my duck. The name is John. For them dudes who don't know me, I know I'm from the West, but I can teach you how to duck. Yeah, step up in the club.
Yes, that is Teach Me How to Dougie.
Do you know how to Dougie?
Yes, I'm just looking at the video here. I know how to Dougie. No, I don't.
What do you do?
I don't. It's kind of a
Is it?
Yeah, it's a.
I'm kind of thinking of a Soulja Boy thing.
Oh, it's not quite that one.
No,
it's more of a lean, I think.
Okay. I'll learn.
Next question. That was by Cali Swag District, by the way. That song, "Teach Me How to Dougie," from 2010. Okay. Next question. Which fictional kingdom in J.R.R. Tolkien's fantasy setting of Middle Earth is known for its horsemen?
Rohan.
Yes. Okay.
I'm so happy. This is the best quiz ever.
Next question. What King of England was born on your birthday?
What King of England? A-N-D-R-E. Oh, do I have to get his number?
I mean, it would certainly help.
Okay. Right. Well, it's not the current guy. Edward... He was king because he abdicated, but he was technically king, wasn't he? I'm just trying to think about season one of The Crown here.
I'll give you a hint. It's before
all
that.
All right,
time.
It's before that. Okay. King Edward the Third or King Edwin, not Edwin, Edward the Third.
It's Edward V, unfortunately.
Oh,
mad that they
damn.
Actually had the date, November 2nd, 1470. So that's
his birthday.
Party.
Okay. 1470, God.
There you go.
That's a great question.
It came up and it suited the E. Okay.
It did.
Okay, next question. What is Taylor Swift's middle name?
Oh, my God. And it begins with A. Right, what could it be? It's not Andrea. I'd know that. My middle name is Antoinette, but I don't think her middle name would be Antoinette. I'm going to go, she's American. I'm going to go with Alice.
So close. It was Allison.
Allison. Oh, no. Oh, damn.
Okay.
I'm fine.
This is question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven.
What hip hop dance was recently the subject of an episode of Atlanta?
Were you on hiphopdances.com and just
look? It just happened.
Laughing
this happened
the letters
this way.
Of my name.
I don't know why, but I happen to think two. So I thought I'd try.
What hip hop dance beginning with A was the
no? It's not
was
A.
The subject.
It's not A.
Oh, C. Sorry. Was the subject of a recent episode of Atlanta? Was that the question? A hip hop dance beginning with A.
C.
This is me trying to hip hop dance. Oh, C. Crunk? Is crunk a kind of dance? Am I the whitest person that's ever lived?
It was a style of music anyway.
Begins with C. Will I know it? Do you think?
You may have referenced it already.
Popular. Oh. I may have referenced it already within the quiz. The Soldier Boy one?
Yeah, but what's it called?
Crank That Soldier Boy.
Yay!
Is it?
Don't catch me at your local party. Yes, I crank it every day. Haters getting mad cause I got me some bathing ape. Soldier Boy, I finna Why me crank that Soldier Boy, that Superman, that
So yeah, we didn't really expect to hip hop. I didn't expect to be asking you questions about two hip hop dances this week, but there you go. That's what happens. Okay, yeah. Next question. Name the first single from the album Pre-Pleasure from Julia Jacklin, who plays tonight in Dublin.
Pre-Pleasure is the new one. So Lydia Wears a Cross.
Indeed, that is correct.
Do you know, I have to say, having the letter is really helpful.
Yeah. It's a nice hook to. It's literally all I thought of. Okay.
It's great.
Third last question. We've got four more. What is Harry Styles' middle name?
Edward.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay. And his birthday is, I think, the 1st of February. It's either the 1st or the 2nd of February. Yeah, it's coming back to me now, feelings.
Okay, next question. Name the new Disney Plus series starring Diego Luna.
Oh, yeah, okay. So C-L-E-A, Diego Luna? Disney Plus.
I'll give you another clue.
Yes, please.
It's related to a... swashbuckling franchise.
Swashbuckling is pirates?
Sorry.
Not necessarily.
Galactic swashbuckling.
Oh, okay. Space pirates. Andromeda?
No, sorry. I don't know. It was Andor. It's a Star Wars series.
No, I don't know that.
Okay.
No.
What American businessman does John Lennon meet in the third episode of Get Back? See how close you were watching this now.
Oh my God, I was watching it yesterday.
You may not have got that far, but...
Wasn't it like... Oh, is this the last question? So this is A? Oh, I was going to say Alan Klein.
Two more. Yeah, you got it. That's correct, yeah.
Oh yeah?
Yep.
Oh, A or Y. I can't even spell my own damn name. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Alan Klein. Yeah.
Very good. Who went on
and he
to
was amazed by manage him. The Beatles, oh, my God. Right, he was like, oh, he's just so amazing. And he's got all these ideas and blah, blah, blah. And we see how that went.
Yeah. Okay, next question. What Irish writer was born in Castlebar in 1991?
Surname or first name?
That's up to you to decide.
Where's Castlebar? That's in the west, isn't it? I was going to say Rooney, as in Sally, C-L-E-A or Y. Rooney.
Sally Rooney. Rooney. Yes, correct.
Sally Rooney. Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay, and finally, which actor stars as the mother in Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Oh, Harry's going to kill me because I don't remember her name. And she's one of his favorites. Yo.
What's the first name?
She has like a relatively Western sounding first name and then her surname is Yo. I don't remember.
Just have a guess. Go on. It's in there somewhere. Silence is dead.
sorry. I'm thinking so hard. No, I want to say Sandra, but I'm thinking of Sandra Oh is what's happening here, which is not.
Can you name other films she was in? I'll give it to you so I know you're thinking of the right person.
Oh, yeah. She was in this one that I watched with Jackie Chan called like Police Cop or what's it called? Police Cop. Cop something.
Are you human?
Oh, my God. Oh, what is happening? I talked about it on the podcast.
Okay.
I can describe a stunt she did once that was really cool.
Is it?
Where she went on a motorbike and then onto the top of a train and she nearly died.
Look, I'm just going to give it to you. It's probably your...
No, you can't. You can't give it to me. Go on, what's her name?
It's your birthday. I'm going to give it to you. Michelle Yeoh is the name.
Michelle!
Yeah. Crouching Tiger,
Michelle,
Dragon,
my belle.
Crazy Rich Asian, she was in Memoirs of a Geisha. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm not sure.
And she's amazing. I'm not she's sure what amazing.
Film, if any, she was in with Jackie Chan, but you seem sure about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in loads of movies with Jackie Chan.
Was she? Okay. Well, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's not immediately obvious from a Google search.
What is the one that I was thinking of? Michelle Yeoh, Jackie Chan. Police Story.
Okay.
Police Story 3, Super Cop.
Okay, you got
which
one,
I'd highly
two,
recommend.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You only got one wrong, really.
Did I though?
No, you got 10. You got 10. You got 10 out of 12.
I'm fine with 10.
10 is good. 10 is a 10 very is solid a, birthday quiz.
A B plus.
Yeah, very good. All right.
Thank you so much for my quiz, Niall.
Okay,
you're too
seeing
kind.
It's your birthday, let's go with your choice.
Okay. Let me take a little look at our list here. I have to say, because you've been away for the month, so I haven't been in much contact with you, but it was quite a month albums wise. More so than kind of singled. So
yeah,
I
sure.
think
it was a
everything
busy
apart
for,
from one
busy month for albums.
Yeah. I think actually everything I'm going to talk about today is the song from an album that I also recommend the album. But the first one that I'm going to recommend is the lady of the moment. It's Anti-Hero by Taylor Swift.
Surprise, surprise, it's Taylor Swift. When my depression works the graveyard shift, all of the people I've ghosted stand there in the room. I should not be left to my own devices. They come with prices and vices. I end up in crisis. Healers all this time. I wake up screaming from dreaming. One day I'll watch as you're leaving. Cause you got tired of my scheming. For the last time, it's me.
Sometimes I feel like everybody is a sexy baby. Taylor Swift, Anti-Hero. Have you listened to Midnights, Niall?
I did. Because of my aforementioned holiday, I missed the release dates of a lot of things. And obviously I was busy doing other things. But I did try and catch up either on the flight back or over where possible. Or even in random mornings, but not great listening experiences either. I did listen to Midnights on the plane back, and I got confused because I was like, "Oh, I have the Midnights 3 AM version. Is this a different version of the album?" Because I couldn't like look.
It's just
up.
An extra seven.
Yeah, I know
songs,
that now,
I
but
think.
At the time I was like, "Yeah, this is a strange album. There's not a lot of like guitars on it, or like it was. It's all very atmospheric." And I was like, "Is this a different mix?" Because I just couldn't check and I wasn't going to pay 20 quid for the internet on the way home.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's actually a very fair assumption. If you weren't to know, you'd be like, oh, there's the guitars are missing from this or whatever. But I think, yeah, so produced by Jack Antonoff, came out on a really, really big album day. It was Midnights with Taylor Swift, Arctic Monkeys, The Car, Carly Rae Jepsen's new album, Dry Cleaning's new album, not a huge, huge band, but for us, quite big. Among others, there were others that day as well, but they were kind of the big ones that I was listening to. And yeah, so Midnights came out and I was listening through it. This is song number, I think maybe 3 or 4 on it. I'll just double check that. Yeah, so it goes Lavender Haze, Maroon, and then Antihero. Lavender Haze and Maroon, I wasn't that, on my first listen, I wasn't that kind of like bowled over by. I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, this is fine. And then when Antihero kicked in, I was like, this is a great song. I love this song. And it's remained my favorite song from the album. I think it's one of the best songs she's ever written. I just find that kind of, I find the melody and the production, I just find it really irresistible. And I quite like the lyrics in it. Like Taylor can be, as we know, and as a lot of the discourse is kind of drawing attention to at the minute, like a kind of cringy millennial in her lyrics. But I think she just about gets away with it in this because it is also a very kind of vulnerable song. And I think the line, "It must be exhausting, always rooting for the anti-hero," is a really, really great line that's used very well. Obviously, Jack Antonoff is all over this song. He's all over this album. There are a couple of tracks on the Midnight's 3 a.m. version that are produced by Aaron Dessner, which are very good. But the rest is pretty much Taylor and Jack. Some people like that. Some people don't. I'm kind of fine with it. I think like a stopped clock is right twice a day. And I feel that about Jack Antonoff and the like harem of female pop stars that he like has in his pocket at any one time. Like I think he did a wonderful job on Lana Del Rey's album. I think he did a great job on Lorde's album that he worked on. And I think broadly, he does a really good job on this one as well. And I think it's just a really nice listen. I reviewed this on Arena, and I had about 4 days with it, which is rare because we did it on the Monday instead of the Friday because there was something else going on the Friday. So I'm really happy that I had the 4 days. I had like the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then a bit of Monday with it, because if I'd just gotten it on the Friday morning, because it was no like pre-album release or anything, I feel like I mightn't have got it as much. But the more I listen to the album, the more I like it. That said, there's songs on it that I'm not mad about. I don't love Shimmer or Glimmer. What's that one called? I don't think it's actually called that. I don't like Question. Bejeweled is the one. I'm not mad about Question. Karma is good, but it's also that sort of cringy millennial thing.
So what is it about the cringy millennial thing? Like, what's an example?
Okay, so there's a line on an otherwise terrific song, which is Vigilante Shit. There's a great line in that song, which is, "I don't dress for women, I don't dress for men. Lately, I've been dressing for revenge." So that's a good example of that sort of like a bit cringy, a bit like liberal feminist sort of like, you know, wearing a t-shirt that says this is what a feminist looks like or whatever. I don't know. I can't really think of a better way to describe it than that. But the first line in that song is, "Draw a cat eye sharp enough to kill a man." And I'm like, I don't like it. It's just sort of like, I feel like it's a bit done. I don't feel like it's actually saying anything. Are we using makeup to, there was something about it that just read as a kind of a vapid feminism that she has been accused of before that I didn't like. I feel like a song like Antihero is much more of a feminist statement than, you know, your eyeliner being so sharp that it kills a man. I'm like, I don't know. I think we're kind of,
it's just
a bit done, and it felt a bit lazy. It felt a bit like the perfect sound to put on a TikTok tutorial for like how to do your eyeliner or something, you know, which I'm grateful for such tutorials because I don't know how to do makeup. But like, yeah, I don't know. There was something about that that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But this album is like, it's really a return to the pre-Folklore Evermore days. It was written largely throughout her whole career. I think from like kind of Red onwards, there's like leftover, these are a lot of songs that she was writing during these periods. That song, like, you could just put it very comfortably onto the Reputation album, which isn't an album that I love. But I do think that her songwriting improved, like her lyrics improved so much with Folklore and Evermore. And you can hear that elsewhere on this album. I think there is a maturity in Taylor Swift on this album, on this kind of pop album, that we didn't get in Reputation. And I really like it. I think it's a really good album. It's got a couple of duds on it, but you know, she earns them. Very funny that there's the song Snow on the Beach, you know, featuring Lana Del Rey. Everyone was so excited. It's like that Nathan Fielder thing of like, I hope you're ready for nothing. Yeah. Like, she's just like, I've listened. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I can hear her a little bit she's in the background, in the chorus, but like, she's there somewhere, but I've no idea what she's actually contributing, you know.
I think she co-wrote. Yeah, let me check that.
I think she co-wrote it.
And then she just very slight backing vocals on it.
Yeah, but it's not a featuring Lana Del Rey. Like,
no,
definitely not. I think she should have not advertised that Lana Del Rey was involved in the song at all. And then people will have figured it out. And then it would have been a much bigger deal of like, surprise, Lana Del Rey was here all the time. And yeah, I think that would have been a bit better. But overall a good album.
Yeah, is a very popular album as well. The most streamed album on Spotify in a single day. And also the most streamed artist on a single day on Spotify. If you're into your
And
stats,
she's currently occupying all 10 of the top 10 places in the Billboard Top 100, which is the first time any one artist has ever done that. And the first time it's been all women. But it's her. Okay. She got 9 before, and the person who was the 10th was Ed Sheeran. So, like pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
She's going on tour next year, the Midnight's tour.
Not announced here yet, though.
The Eras tour. No, just in North America it's announced, or maybe just the United
Phoebe
States.
Bridgers,
I'm not sure.
For the ride, apparently. So
Phoebe Bridgers, Haim, who else? Can't remember who else, but like very good support acts. So hopefully and she sorted out her really high ticket prices thing. Like, she's not going to be charging a ridiculous amount for bad seats this time around, because on her last tour they had to lower the prices of tickets to sell the tickets because they were so high. So, you know, ultimately she is a capitalist, but she draws a sharp eyeliner, sharp enough to kill men. So, you know, but I love her.
Okay, great. My first choice is also an album. It is by Loyal Karner. It is called Hugo. It's a song from it called Nobody Knows, Ladders Rose.
Told myself I should have ran, I'm the boss. And I'm supposed to have a plan. But can't think till I figure who I am. Are you lost, or are you just another man? Sitting in my sunshine, trying to catch a tan. Listen, outside I can feel the sun's rain. I love it, inside I was bumping John Wayne. Made peace, you can never say the wrong name. Say my life's one long game. And don't fuck it up, say reveal nothing. Guys I used to run with a steady still puffing. But what did they expect? Yo, what did they expect? And yo, I never used to think of the effect. When my dad passed, straight biological neglect. The other one, sunset, sitting on the steps, I was left. Mum came, heavy in her breath. Tears on my face, transferring to her chest, I was left. And she would say, he ain't coming. But I can tell him that you love him. And I would shout, nah, love means nothing. Say I wanna hug, I wanna talk, I want something. See, I reached the black man, he wouldn't take my hand. Told the white man, he didn't understand. I sat alone in the shadows of a man with my eyes closed. Told myself I should have ran, I'm the boss. And I'm supposed to have the plan. Think till I figure who I am, are you lost? Or are you just another man?
So that is Loyal Carner. Album is called Hugo. Very impressed with this. This is one of those albums I listened to on the way over on the plane to New York. His third album after 2017's Yesterday's Gone and 2019, Not Waving But Drowning. Hugo features production and credits from the likes of Quez, Jordan Rakai, Alpha Mist, a lot of like UK producers, and also Madlib on that song, which is really lovely because it really does sound like a Mad Villain kind of beat as well. And I think Loyal Carner, being a really good rapper, sounds really great on it as well. But the album overall is concerned with a lot of identity, mixed race, roots, relationships, particularly parental relationships, fathers as well, paternal ones, because he is Loyal recently became a parent and had a difficult relationship with his dad, and it seems to be on his mind a lot on this album. So it feels like a cathartic release for him. Production, you don't really hear it there, but a lot of the album is very like live instrumentation, neo soul and hip hop. It kind of feels analogous to the kind of vibe that some of Salt's music has. Although they just dropped an album, five albums this week. So I haven't gone near them yet. So that's a lot. The singles on this album are great. Hate is a very urgent track. Georgetown and Nobody Knows, Lattice Road features that latter. Has the Guyanese poet John Agar talking about being half caste. And then there's tracks on the album concerning... featuring the youth activist Atian Akek on talking about knife crime. So it really does feel like a encapsulation of some of the issues, personal and political, that are happening around Loyal Carner at the moment and where he lives in London. So really great album. I think this is the best album he's done so far. I really like what he's done with it, and it's very succinct. It has there's a Kojak reference on it as well. Kind of calling back to the track No Hands from Kojak on the song A Lasting Place, kind of an echo and refrain of from that album as well. So really great, really enjoyed this, and I'll be going back to it. It's definitely the best album he's released so far. If you are interested in what you heard there and you like want to hear more, I'm going to see him live. I mean, actually the two dates that he has in Ireland are sold out on the February 19th to 20th in Vicar Street, but a popular boy, so a popular dad, but yeah, he's really good, and
cool.
I've never seen him live, I don't think, but
I've never really gotten into him, but I like the sound of that song. So yeah,
it's a really like good solid like UK hip hop album for sure, okay. And it's not very modern in terms of like there's no drill sounds or anything like that on it, but it's very much like rap album, classic rap album, yeah.
Sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah.
Okay. So my second choice is an album from the Arctic Monkeys. It's called The Car, and the song is called Perfect Sense.
Having some fun with the warm-up act, if that's what it takes to say
say that they've changed too much, but I call it evolution. So the Arctic Monkeys there, obviously, you know, the guitar band of the 2000s. I think we can fairly comfortably say that, certainly on this side of the water, in hindsight. But they've been obviously through a few iterations of their sound, and the most kind of remarkable swerve from that like scrappy guitar sound was Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino in 2018, which wasn't a hit for everybody, but was for me. I absolutely loved it. I've since returned to that album quite a bit in the run up to the car, and also to the last Shadow Puppets as well, just sort of the alternative Alex Turner kind of timeline. And I mean, if you were watching those kinds of like side projects that he was doing, if you were like looking at his solo stuff, if you're looking at the stuff he did with the other band, like this feels like a kind of a logical conclusion to all of that. And I think here with the car, we're still firmly in the world of Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. I think Alex Turner's voice is just getting better with every album that he puts out. I think his vocals on this album are absolutely stunning. He's like switching from these kind of like low croons to these like high falsettos, which are beautiful. And while these were like a guitar, like the guitar band, they're now just like so lush with these string arrangements that are so beautiful and cinematic and just like cool as well, is the thing. They've retained that sense of cool, that kind of sense of like, oh, I don't know, like a kind of a cinematic score. And I think they're drawing on a lot of influences here. I think you can hear some Elton John here, you can hear some Paul McCartney. And I think it's this kind of space between like Kokomo and like Jay Gatsby's mansion. I think some reviewer, it might have been in The Guardian, described it as like an album that would soundtrack a party at Jay Gatsby's mansion. I really like that. But it's not as reliant on a concept as Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino was. There's a lot of Alex Turner in these songs. Yeah. It's still quite a lot about like solitude and longing, even if it is dressed up in all these kind of like chandeliers and champagne, and like even on Body Paint, you know, it's a song that is about kind of like love and longing, but it's, you know, about a model that he's dating that is just coming back from her cover shoot. And I think that's okay, because I don't think he leans into the opulence and the decadence for any reason other than to kind of draw attention to the fact that those things don't bring happiness and don't bring fulfillment or, you know, romantic fulfillment or anything like that. He's just kind of using it as a way to speak about loneliness and to speak about kind of human connection. And yeah, I just think it's a really good album. It's one that you just kind of like, you have to kind of sink into it. I don't think one listen is enough to get a sense of it. I think you have to listen to it a good few times and really find the songs that speak to you. I know that's true of like every album, but with this album in particular, I think every time I've listened to it, there's so much going on in the arrangements that you can really just like pick what instrumental part you want to listen to, or if you want to focus on the lyrics or whatever it is. It's very, very rewarding and occasionally very beautiful album. Yeah. I love it. I think it's great.
Great. I haven't listened to it an awful lot yet, but I am I'm enjoying what I have heard. I mean, I've literally had two half listens, I'd say, but Sculptures of Anything Goes was the one that stood out to me that I hadn't heard before.
Song.
Because of its kind of slow tempo, mid-tempo vibe, it does kind of congeal into each other, but exactly, you need to listen to it more. It's not like it doesn't grab you in that way, but it does draw you in. And I think, they could be the rock and roll cliche of the band that brings in the strings and that's all they do, but there's such an embedding of that of that vibe and that and these sounds into this world that it doesn't feel anything. It doesn't feel like it's just tacked on for the sake of it.
Yeah, it feels so, earned, yeah, right? It's integral like, to it's, how it feels. It's a world building exercise rather than just like it's similar to Father John Misty's album. Like there was a reason for him to do a kind of an orchestral album because he was looking at like 20th century music, and Adele's album as well, which is the other kind of big record recently that kind of turned more towards like strings and kind of Hollywood stuff. But like, yeah, I feel like this is a path now for kind of like mid-career rock bands or rock artists or alternative artists to kind of, you know, go into and explore. And I'd like to hear more bands doing this because I think it's, you know, I mean, the Beatles did it. The Beatles did tons of like orchestral stuff and still sounded like the Beatles. It's a nice way to evolve your sound and to kind of, I'd imagine, I'm not a musician, but I'd imagine like you get to a point with your musicianship when you're in the middle of your career where you want to like start testing yourself a bit more and start creating more complex arrangements, start arranging for instruments or, you know, an orchestra that you haven't done before. And like, there's a whole world of that available to people. So it's nice that you can see like these musicians, the Arctic Monkeys as a band, are full of like brilliant, brilliant musicians, really honed on their instruments. So it's really nice to kind of see them expand on that and for it to pay off, you know.
So there's no rock bangers on this one, is there?
Not really. No, I don't like, no, I wouldn't say there's any rock bangers on it. And that's fine.
That is like, fine.
We've had loads of rock bangers.
I'm sure people aren't happy. Some people aren't happy, but that's fine also.
No, a lot of people aren't. Yeah, they're like, I mean, it's just people who are giving out that they're not playing Fluorescent Adolescent at all their shows, you know. It's like, they have other songs. Like.
All right. Okay. Also from an album that came out last Friday, from the Mary Wallopers from Dundalk. This is a track highlight from me. It is called Building Up and Tearing England Down.
In a tunnel underground, a young Limerick man was found. He was built into the new Victoria line. And when the bonus gang had passed, sticking through the concrete cast was the face of little Charlie Joe Devine. And the ganger man McGurk said Big Paddy ate the work when a gas pipe burst and he flew off the ground. Well, this where he said, don't slack, I'll not be there until I'm back. Keep on building up and tearing England down. So come, you navvies bold, who do think that English gold is just waiting to be plucked from every sod? Or that the likes of you and me will ever get an OBE or a knighthood for good service to the HOD. They've a concrete master race there to keep you in your place and a ganger man to kick you to the ground. If you ever try to take part of what the bosses make when you're building up and tearing England down.
Pretty self-explanatory there. That is Building Up and Tearing England Down, a highlight from the Dundalk Trio, who are now expanded to a larger group for live gigs anyway. Their self-titled debut album. This song was popularised by the Dubliners and tells of the hardship of the mostly Irish men, workers who literally built many of England's buildings with their bare hands, and the accidents and things that happened along the way after emigrating from Ireland. And really shows something we've all heard about before, you know, about how the Irish have were responsible for building a lot of England. And I think this is just America, really lovely way of and, you know, quite almost nationalistic in a way, the way it's told as well. So lots of references to people who were affected by it and who went through that experience. And just, yeah, I passed that song down in a folk tradition. That's the Mary Walpers building up and tearing England down.
Are you going to see them this month now?
I haven't thought that far ahead. Saw them recently at a Palestine fundraiser, and they did play that song. And
I
really appreciated it as well, because, you know, I mean, they were very good at drawing parallels between Palestine and Israel and Ireland and England. And in not that they're exactly the same, obviously, but, you know, it is it is there, and it is, the references are there, and the history is there. So, yeah.
Great. I'm looking forward to seeing them later this month. I haven't seen them yet.
They're great. Album's really good.
Yeah. Speaking of great live bands, again, on the same day that the other two albums were released, the other two that I talked about, are Two Monkeys and Taylor Swift. Dry Cleaning released Stumpwork, the worst cover art I've ever seen in my life. Will not be buying the album, or if I do buy the album, I will be covering it because it makes me feel sick. And this track is called Quenchy Cups.
Things are shit, but they're gonna be okay. And I'm gonna see the otters. There aren't any otters. There are. Well, we can check. And I'm gonna see the water caterpillar. Purple hair in the co-op. Purple hair in the alpine. I'd love to hold you across the middle and be your shoulder bag. You scrape your t-shirt thin. Everything alright with you? It's autumn, windy webs. Well, things are shit, but they're gonna be okay. And I'm gonna see the otters. There aren't any otters. There are. Well, we can check. And I'm gonna see the water caterpillar. There's no such thing. Nice idea.
Describing there what is going to be going through my head when I'm on my way to see the wild lights at Dublin Zoo on Sunday. We're going to go see the otters. There aren't any otters. We'll see.
We'll see.
Hopefully I get to see an otter. But yeah, so that's from the new album from Dry Cleaning. I mentioned to my partner that it had come out, and he quite liked their first album, and he was like, oh, did they release the same album again? And I was like, yeah, pretty much. And he was like, good. And I was like, yeah.
I think it's different though. I think it's a bit different.
I mean, there's no great, like,
No, but I think there's enough different shades there. And I think they wisely, for the first few tracks, avoid doing the exact same sound that they did on the start. That defined it, like the big heavier guitars. They come in later a lot of the time, but there's tracks here that, you know, there's the first track on the album sounds like it's Anna Calls from the Arctic. It's kind of a different vibe for them. I mean, musically and vocally. Yeah, I mean, there's
I think
more
it's singing just like
song
that...
or talk singing, but not much.
Yeah, we do get a little bit of singing and whistling. We get a bit of melody from Florence Shaw's vocals on this, which is, I think, welcome. But the unique selling point remains her stream of consciousness, very droll kind of observer of the world lyrics. And they are, I think, just as good on this album, if not better than the first album. They're certainly more direct and honed, and I think a little bit easier to kind of get into if you have the first album behind you and you're kind of used to what she does with lyrics. I think the guitars on that track, Quenchy Cups, are very kind of Johnny Marr, which I enjoy. There's a song called Gary Ashby, which is about a tortoise who escaped during lockdown, whose favorite pastime is kicking around a little tinfoil ball. Like, this is music that was just written for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, very kind of, the word isn't quirky, but I do need to find a word. I need to find out what the word is when I say words like quirky, because I hate that word. But like, it is, it's off center kind of stuff. But at the same time, quite like cute and like nice. I really like Gary Ashby. And No Decent Shoes for Rain is a much more kind of like sludgy garage rock song about some lads being arrested for rollerblading. So that's also great. But I think everything fits really well together. I think the band are still allowing Florence Shaw to kind of do her thing. And I think that's the right decision. If you were to take her out of it and just listen to the instrumental aspect of the band, I don't think you'd be particularly like bowled over or impressed by their kind of like their musicianship is very good, but they're not doing a whole lot that we haven't heard before in other guises. So it's her mixed with that kind of makes this band kind of fit together so well. And I think that they were one of the most exciting bands that came out last year. And I think this year, you know, it's only been a year or so since their first album came out. So I wouldn't have wanted too much of a shift, but I feel like they're really laying the groundwork for like more experimentation later.
Yeah,
you know,
very good. Yeah. I really like what I've heard so far. Again, October and being away means I've only heard it once or twice now. Twice, probably, I'd say. But I really like it. I do like it. I love this band. They're great. They're great.
And they're great.
And they're playing here soon, aren't they?
I think so. I don't think I'm going. I might be going. Who knows? I have a drawer of...
Oh, God. Here we go. Here's tickets. Me Googling dry clean Dublin again and get nothing because of the 14th of February, Valentine's night in Vicar Street.
Oh, I think I am going to that actually.
You probably are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. That's dry cleaning. So not really a vibe shift for dry cleaning on this album, but maybe a little bit of a vibe shift on my album that I'm picking next, which is Gillaband Most Normal. Let's listen to a bit of Post Ryan. That was the last song on the album, and it's called Post Ryan from Most Normal, and probably the single best track for me on the album. But to talk about the album as a whole, I think it's a bit of a bait and switch from the pre-release singles that they released on their third album from the Dublin band. Mm-hmm. Eight Fivers and Backwash suggested a kind of more streamlined version of what the band were already doing, which, you know, is very alternative, interesting guitar textures used in industrial ways and rhythmic ways. And then Dara Kiely, a lot of lyrics about not feeling great and shouting and kind of howling as well. But Most Normal isn't what the title suggests, I don't think. Here, it's quite a weird record. It ambushes you a little bit with passages of big noise, like the industrial track for Gushy, and tracks like Bin Liner Fashion and Cap Gas that have that kind of element where it's kind of, it's playing with noise as opposed to music and textural noise as well. And then there's other aspects of it as well. Like if you think of, you know, there's a song called Red Polo Neck, I'm just going to briefly play a bit of, which, you know, has a vibe in terms of its sound. It doesn't sound like something like Madlib might make, actually. So here's a bit of that. Just, yeah, slightly different vibe there. Very much more like weird hip-hop production almost as well. And they said they were inspired by that. I think Dara Kiely on this album seems to be having more fun in the lyrics, and it feels more settled than unsettled. There are some great lines there, like, I can't wear hats, I still get slagged, no one looks cool around a wasp. At the end of the day, that's football, and fungi died for all your sins. So there's a lot of those kind of lyrics in there, where maybe some of the last album, I know Dara's been through some, had to take some breaks for his mental health, and he feels like he's a bit more together this time around in terms of knowing who he is and what he's saying. And I think it's sometimes when you were listening to the last album, it felt like you were a bit worried for him, and you feel a little less worried for him this time around. So that's really good. And I think the band have used that time in the studio to really work on something because of lockdown, and really try and do something a bit different. And I think they really succeed here. So yeah, Most Normal, cool. From Gilliband. That's the album.
Can you hear the cat purring?
No, but I can see the affection that's been given to the microphone and to you.
All over me right now. Thank you, Aria. You are welcome to this podcast.
Welcome.
She is a fan of the next band that we're going to talk about. Is this the biggest month? Was October the biggest month for
Yeah,
albums?
It feels like it. It feels like it. Yeah.
It was huge. We had a fucking 1975 album come out. And like, it kind of slipped in there for me. So yeah, the song I've chosen a song, and you've chosen a song.
Yes,
so we're
because
both
we both
choosing this album
for the first time, Andrea. I have found myself listening to this band properly.
I'm very happy. So the song that I've chosen, we'll start with this one, is it's from Being Funny in a Foreign Language by the 1975. Their new album. This song is called Part of the Band.
She was part of the Air Force, I was part of the band. I always used to burst into a hand. And my imagination. I was living my best life, living my parents' way before the pain penance and verbal penance. My cancellation. The boy, it was kinda lame. I was Rambo and he was Paul Verlaine. My imagination. So many cringes and heroin binges. I was coming off the hinges, living on the fringes of my imagination. Oh yeah. Enough about me now. Talk about the people, babe.
But that's kind of the idea.
So as we know, Andre, you are already a fan of the 1975. Mm. So give me your impressions of this album in the context of their canon.
As with my relationship with Taylor Swift, it is a kind of a fraught kind of almost like a sibling relationship where I'm like, oh my God, this band can drive me mad sometimes. But ultimately, they're my brother, you know. And yeah, I think this album is a lot more subdued. Maybe a bit like the Arctic Monkeys album, kind of lacking big rock tunes. This lacks like as many big pop tunes. It is way pared down compared to their previous records. It's like 40 odd minutes long. And I think it benefits from that. I mean, it's 11 songs, which we haven't seen from this band in a really, really long time. And yeah, something about that song in particular that I just find really, really engaging. I love the strings in it. I think the lyrics in it are great. Really moving lyric towards the end about him. He kind of names the years, days, months, hours, and minutes that he's been sober clean from heroin. And I like when he addresses that in his music because I think he does it really well. I think he's a really good lyricist. When he gets it right, he really gets it right, kind of thing. And I just love the arrangement. I love how the song kind of switches up kind of tonally between the verses and the choruses, and I think his vocals sound great on that song as well. And yeah, I haven't listened to the album through like loads of times. I listened to it maybe twice the weekend it came out, but I haven't actually returned to it just because there's been so much other music. But I liked what I heard, but that was the song that kind of really jumped out at me. But the song that jumped out to you was Happiness, which is also a song that I quite like. So tell me about that.
Well, so I was listening to the band, the album, when it came out on the Friday before I went away. And I was just like, oh, yeah, look, I'm always interested to see what's going on, because I think whether I like it or not and whether I have a problem with, I seem to have a problem with Matty Healy's lyrics and maybe some of his the way he talks about people and especially about women has been problematic for me in the past. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that everyone, you know, a pop star, or which is what he is, but he has it. He does have an interesting personality. He's a bit magnetic. He's playing up to that role a lot. While also, I think this album, because it was paired back in terms of it's like, it's not trying to be the big, like, OK Computer kind of vibe this time around, where it's just like, OK, these are 11 songs that are just well written, more direct lyrically, not going to like read out newspaper headlines over a backing track. But I'm just going to sing a song called I'm In Love With You, that's fine. And I thought that was an interesting just to see from that perspective, which obviously they have songs like this before. And I think for me, the 80s thing is something that they do so well. And
so well.
And that's why I picked Happiness, because I'm like, wow, that is such a good 80s song. And the same with Looking For Somebody To Love. Those two songs set together are just perfect of examples of that kind of like Molly Ringwald dance, you know, that kind of like 80s swing that you have, bit of like Robert Palmer or like We Built This City by Starship. It has that kind of like silly saxophones and but big choruses, big synth moves. And I love it. I think it's just so well
kind
done.
Kind of Peter Gabriel sometimes as well.
So and Happiness was just, it started with, for me, with Looking For Somebody To Love. I was like, that's a great track. It was like, it sounds like We Built This City. And then I was like, that's fun. And then Part of the Band, I was like, that sounds like a Bon Iver song. Oh, Caroline has more of that kind of Michael McDonald kind of Yahi rock thing going on, the kind of billowy synths. And that run, the first five songs in particular, obviously the 1975, the opening track sounds a bit like, is inspired by LCD Sound System's All My Friends. But I think he does a really good job lyrically in that song as well of like...
Me too. I think his vocals are lovely in it as well.
Yeah. And I think it's just like, you know, if there is a band who are the voice of a generation, I mean, the generation isn't the same age as they are. But, you know, I do like that he's trying to like empathize with somebody who's 17. And I think it just works really well for that. And I think, I like, you know, those kind of lyrics about QAnon created a legitimate scene, but it was just some bloke in the Philippines. Like there's something about this song, the first opening song, is trying to say something bigger than it is. And I think I appreciate that. Sorry if you're living, if you're 17. Like it's a bit emo, but it's also like,
I love that line.
It's empathy for young people, something we don't hear a lot of these days.
Absolutely. So, and I remember like on the episode where we did, I think, a brief inquiry into something, whatever.
Online relationships.
Online relationships, that's the one. It was either that one or the other one that came out, like the two for... I talked to you for about an hour about the relationship between like Matty Healy's lyrics and Gen Z. And when I listened to the first song on this album, the titular kind of the 1975, which they do on all their albums.
Yeah.
I was really relieved that they were still kind of engaging with that age group. Even though the fans who were 17, who first were listening to them, are no longer 17, but they're still concerned with, and empathy was a word you used, which is perfect. They're empathizing with young people. And I think I think they'll continue to do that because I think Matty Healy has, for better or worse, a kind of maybe a fear of growing out of that level of empathy, maybe a fear of that idea of the older you get, the more conservative you get. I think you can hear that in a lot of his lyrics, and that fear is a driving force behind him trying to connect with young people and trying to give them a voice and trying to understand their perspective on the world. And obviously their perspective on the world is so or the world is so apocalyptic and difficult that looking at it through the eyes of a young person really kind of draws attention to how much we've been sleeping on a lot of our kind of like social and environmental issues. And yeah, I just think he does that so, so well. I mean, I know he's done like fucking dicky things in like poor old Dervla, was that her name? Like, you know,
yeah.
But like he, I don't know. I just think there's like the reaction that he gets to stuff that he does in the media is so strong and so kind of like rushing to cancel this person who like at worst has made stupid mistakes. Like the Dervla thing was bad, right? But like,
yeah, he said a name was like dirt. You know,
yeah, like that's, it's not good. But he's also like, he's a rock star and a kind of an idiot, like, or just kind of socially a bit odd. Like he's just kind of an odd person. And I think that like, I don't know, the rush to want to cancel this person because he's had problematic lyrics in the past or whatever. It's just, I don't know. I'm a bit uncomfortable with vilifying someone who is very, very clearly trying hard, and learning from other people and listening. Like we saw the you know, he did a lot of kind of like public learning with Laura Snapes on Twitter, and then, you know, pledged to only play like 50-50 gender balance music festivals and things like that, and brought attention to a lot of these things. And I don't know if it matters what the motivation behind that is, if the motivation is more sales or whatever, but the fact that like there is a male pop star kind of doing this stuff, like showing what it looks like to actually do the work publicly, is I think very helpful. And nobody's perfect. Like we all say problematic things. We all say things that are, you know, that we regret afterwards, but people who are willing to kind of learn publicly in that way and kind of like set out a course for other people to do it, I think should be, you know, encouraged to keep going and not just,
but also
kind of tossed aside as being, you know,
great songs,
problematic.
There's great songs on this album as well. Not to just focus on his lyrics.
He's a brilliant songwriting,
and the band are really good at what they do, and they're really good at making 80s songs like Happiness. I had to get a bit of that sax in. That was 1975 being funny in a foreign language. Yeah, just, you know, simpler, straightforward versions of what they've done before. And some of, they've obviously done that kind of 80s thing before for sure. And I think it's really hard to do as well. Mm. Obviously, the only thing I think about this is Jack Antonoff is also involved in this and it was interesting to note that, like, sometimes it's like, oh, well, he's just streamlined things and maybe that's his vibe. But it would have been interesting to know. It doesn't seem like they got on well with BJ Burton in advance when they tried to do this album with him. And he has expressed some disappointment in how that all worked out, because I don't think he kind of knew what was happening next. But yeah, maybe they picked a safe pair of hands, but it is what it is. It is what it is. But, you know, they have done two sprawling albums right before this. So it's okay to make a digestible 11 track, 40 something minute album after that. 43 minute album. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. On to our final choices.
For sure. Final choice for me is, and the final choice overall?
No, I have one that's not on Spotify.
Oh, you have a surprise one.
Yeah.
So this is the band Always. The album is called Blue Rev. Very good album. And this song is called Easy on Your Own. Easy on Your Own by Always, a band that we both really like. Have you had a chance to listen to this album?
No, yet? I'm actually not that familiar with this band at all, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've not really listened to them that much.
This is, so I was really looking for, I chose a track, I can't remember which track, from this album as one of the best songs of last month. And I was really looking forward to the album. It's the follow-up to 2017's Antisocialites. There have been some lineup changes with the band, but I think here it's very bright, very hooky, a bit of like kind of shoegazy stuff in it, and just kind of good, like, garage rock, I think. I don't have too much to say about this album. I've only listened to it a few times, but it's like the vibes are good. And I just really, really love their sound. And I think that this would be a great like driving album if you're going somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, not listened to this yet, but I know people in our Discord are fans.
I think you'd like it. I think you'd like it now.
Yeah, and so if you want to join our Discord and access the highly competitive music league which they've started, which actually is, I'm finding it very stressful.
It's kicking off in there.
I think we need to do one a week, lads. One a week. We'll figure it out. Yeah. I meant to say that, but I was like, geez, I'm on holidays. We've done two of them while I was away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm also not doing that well, so maybe that's why. But no, it is interesting to watch. The music league is like everyone picks a mood. There's a theme suggested for each round. And everyone picks one. So the latest one is, what is it? The latest ones is songs to make you cry, and it can be, this is where I go to cry. What was the last one we picked? Oh, it was like songs for hangover is the latest one. So yeah, so that's it. So Discord, if you want Discord access for 909, you have to just sign up on the Patreon. It's patreon.com/909. You get playlists and extra podcasts and extra bits, and you support us and do nice things for us. And we appreciate that. So yeah, that is it. That's my, before we depart on this episode, I'm going to pick my last song. So I said last month I might pick an old song for my last track every month, and so I'm going to pick a song that I heard in New York at a club I went to. So James Murphy is somehow involved in this club, and my friend Simon from Lumo had gone a few months ago and had gone to this spot, which is a nice little, it's a little clubby disco bar kind of thing called Night Moves. Funny enough, same name as the event we put on recently. And it, I think it's beside the wine bar he owns, the Four Horsemen. And shout out to Ryan Skelton from Cafe Balearica, the Irish guy who owns the bar, a lovely disco bar over there as well, a lovely spot in Williamsburg. So he sorted me out for this space later on that night. So we went in and had a dance, and it's got that those lovely Macintosh speakers that they used at the Spacio, but smaller versions, but like just lovely sound system. Kind of reminds me of Hind Eye a little bit, except for it has a light up dance floor. And like any good night out, no matter what, even though the drinks were ridiculously expensive, I think at some point there was 3 beers and 2 glasses of whiskey, not shots of whiskey, bought, and it was 70 something quid.
Oh, insane. My God.
So other than that, one of the songs that the DJs played that night, they were all playing vinyl and stuff, is actually a Pink Floyd cover. And I've heard the flip side of it before. This is a band from the late 70s called Rosebud, 1977. They do a cover of Money. But on the flip, which I had never heard before, is a song called Have a Cigar, also written by Roger Waters. So here is what that sounded like. That was one of the tracks I heard at Night Moves in Williamsburg a couple of weeks ago, or last week. And it's always nice to have an audio present to take home with you from a holiday. And that was mine. So got to play. And then I played at Illumo last weekend, which was a great crack. So yeah, fun times.
Excellent.
Fun times. I just thought I'd include that because there's nowhere else for that to exist on the website or anything really. And it's not on Spotify or anything like that. So nice to be able to nod to it.
Excellent.
Right. Any other things you've been enjoying the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I have a few. I watched a lot of films this month, being spooky season. But I think the best ones I watched, so spooky film wise, I'd never seen Society. So I watched Society, which was good, but also awful. Do you know what I mean?
I've never seen that one.
Okay, so it, like, for maybe the first 2/3 of it, it's like a kind of a schlocky teen movie, and then towards the end the kind of big body horror thing happens, which was great, but like the acting and basically everything else in it was like quite bad. But it's a very seminal film and it's a cult classic and people love it, which I liked. I watched Raw, which I think was maybe my favorite one that I watched this month. Excellent film, really loved it. I watched a film called Matriarch as well, which was great. That was spooky. And then my other spooky one was The Babadook, which was great fun. I really enjoyed it. That was the most kind of like jumpy one, most kind of like, you know, horror movie of them all. And cinema wise, I went to see All Quiet on the Western Front, which is about based on the book about the trenches in World War One. Well worth seeing it in the cinema. I'm not sure if it's still in theaters. I think it might be in the Lighthouse still at the minute. I was there on the night of the premiere of The Banshees of Inisherin, which I haven't seen yet, and I was very disappointed to not run into Colin Farrell or Brendan Gleeson, but there you have it. And then kind of older film that I'd never seen before, but is like seminal film, I watched We Need to Talk About Kevin, They didn't talk about Kevin nearly enough in that movie. If they talked about Kevin, they could have maybe all of this from happening. But those were my films I watched. And then TV wise, I loved The Bear. Was one of the best things I've watched this year. And I properly started House of the Dragon, which I'm really, really enjoying.
Very good.
Yeah. How about you? Anything to report? You were away for most of it. So
yeah. Well, I ditched House of Dragon after about 6 episodes. I got bored of it.
Okay.
And I watched the rest of the Lord of the Rings one, but also kind of like one eye on maybe turning it off. I kept getting the two confused as well, which probably isn't a good thing.
Okay.
Not a great look. Also,
I quit the Lord of the Rings one after 2 episodes, and you know I'm a massive Lord of the Rings fan. I was just like, no, this isn't it. But House of the Dragon, I feel a little like it's grabbed me in a bit more. Right. I really like Matt Smith in it. I like his character.
I'm rewatching Twin Peaks. That's what I'm doing. Fine.
Excellent.
So there's nothing wrong there. That's always an excellent decision to do that. And movie wise, I watched on Colleen Kuhn, The Quiet Girl, the Irish movie from this year. Missed it in the cinema. Rented it at home. Really good. Really, really good. Very moving.
Did you rent that from the IFI website?
No. I think it was either the Google store or the Apple one, maybe.
Okay.
Not sure.
So you can get it somewhere. Yeah, I've been wanting to.
We did watch a film one of the nights where we're on holiday because we were very near Amityville, and we better watch the Amityville Horror for the crack because the day after the wedding, the evening after the wedding. Terrible film with Ryan Reynolds.
But fun.
Well, we probably should have watched the original 70s one, but still, anyway, just because literally we were in houses that felt like this kind of vibe, we were like, let's watch a scary American horror film because we are in one already with a basement and everything. So that was interesting.
Okay.
And also the other things I've watched recently, X and Pearl, those two Mia Goth, Ty West films, horror films. X... Mm. I kind of think I'd prefer Pearl. It's very much like Pearl is the origin story of the kind of horror baddie in X. And little, yeah, I kind of prefer. I think Mia Goth is great in as her performance in X is, or Pearl is amazing. It's unhinged and really interesting. And there's a third one to come as well. So, so good recent new horror. And that's really it. I mean, I haven't been. Have I been to a gig? No, I have not.
I was at Sorka Richardson, which was excellent.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. No,
it was great.
There was no gigs really on in New York that
but
I wanted to
people
see.
People need to stop talking at gigs.
Yeah, is it getting bad?
If anyone's listening, right, just if you're standing at the back, that's not carte blanche to have like a really loud conversation. If you're standing that far back, just keep going back into the bar. Have your conversation in there. You can't be chatting that loud at gigs, lads. And it is mostly lads. And I feel a bit sorry for men because their voices just carry louder than women's voices. But still, don't be chatting at gigs. I'm going to Julia Jacqueline tonight. And for the first time in years and years and years, I'm going to go in and be near the front. I haven't been up near the front at a gig in ages, but I was like, when I was at Sorka Richardson, I ended up moving and I moved up towards kind of the front side bit where I could like kind of just slip in without getting in people's way. And the vibe was so much better. People just like singing her lyrics and enjoying the show instead of just standing around with their friends, having a beer and a chat with some music on in the background. So tonight we're going up the front for Julia.
Yeah, you got to stand if you really want to hear it. I think you really got to get up the front.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Brilliant. Lovely.
Cool.
All right, well, that's it for this episode. Night09.com for all track listings and info and episode notes. And patreon.com/909. Anything you want to plug, Andrea, before we go?
No, just a date for people's diaries. Sunday, November 26th, National Rally for Housing in Dublin. Get it into your diaries now. I'm not sure if there's any official information out, but Rory Hearn, who wrote Gaffes and who is generally tweeting and kind of raising awareness about the housing crisis, has some information about it on his Twitter @RoryHearn. But just put it into your diaries, tell your pals about it. 26th of November in Dublin. It's a Saturday. I think I might have said Sunday there. So Saturday,
yes,
November 26th in Dublin. Get out, get rallying, make some banners and posters and just, yeah, get amongst it. Even if you're some of the lucky people who have bought a house or have places to live.
Good shout. Good shout.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, that's it from us this week.
And thank you for my quiz, Niall. It was lovely. Thank you so much.
You did so well.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye everyone.
See ya.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.